Amen and amen. You may be seated if you can. You can be seated. Isn't it good to be in the presence of the Lord? Isn't it a wonderful thing to gather with hundreds of believers and sing, "We exalt thee," and worship our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus. He is the way, the truth, the life. I'll tell you what, as this world gets darker, it's going to require more light out of God's people. We are not those that Jesus said that withdraw unto perdition or back off. But we are the ones that proceed forward with boldness and under the power and the presence of God. I'll tell you what, these are the days of the Holy Ghost on this earth. These are the days of the miracle working power of God. These are the days of the revelation of God's word. And I'm just telling you, this dark world is not going to take it easy on half in, half out believers. You know, and I know you're here today, especially those that are visiting, you say, "Whoa, okay, I feel like, you know, this is a lot to take in." Well, I tell you what, God's got a good plan for your life. Amen. And that plan is not a wishy-washy one. It's not a plan of half-heartedness. It's not just a plan for Hallmark Christianity. It's not a plan for a diluted, watered-down Christianity. You know, it's a time to get back to the Word. I'll tell you, we are in the days of revival on this earth. You know, we're waiting for God to do something. He says He's waiting for us. He's ready. God is ready for these days. The Bible says that the glory of the latter house should be greater than the former. The glory of God in these days will even outdo and exceed what He did back in times past. And so I'll tell you what, if you're here today and you're hungry for God, you're going to love what you hear. I'll be honest. If you want, I'm just going to say it the way it is. I know it gets bold and it sometimes, you know, people don't like that, but it's the truth. But if you want comfortable, convenient Christianity, it's not going to work for you. That stuff is going to crash and burn on this earth. It's crashing and burning right now. That the methods of man have, the humanism and secularism has entered the church of Jesus Christ in America. I don't mean, you know, family church. I mean any church. If we're not careful, all of a sudden it starts to become more about the atmosphere is catered to man and man's feelings and the ways of society other than catering this atmosphere to what God likes. Let's give God what He wants. And let's not make a church that's just, you know, catered on a man's feelings and man's emotions. Listen, I'll tell you what, that stuff is crashing and burning, you know, all over the place. This method that's been going on now for 10, 20 years of trying to make, you know, church an entertainment center, trying to make churches, you know, this social outlet. You might not see it in the news, but if you'll do the research and look into it, people are leaving those churches by the droves. Why? Because there's no power. See, when you get involved in a church at first, there can be some real novelty. It can seem, ooh, okay, wow, I'm meeting new people, I'm doing new things, this is different in my life, and, you know, the novelty seems strong. But what are you going to do when that novelty wears off? See, after the novelty, there better come some commitment and some covenant. I'm not here for novelty. You know, I'm here to walk out my covenant call with the Father. I'm here to be faithful, not for a year, not for 10 years, but for a lifetime. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go with me to Luke chapter 17, and I'm going to call this message the kingdom of God in you. The kingdom of God in you. All right. Praise the Lord. And this is going to, I'm just going to warn you right now, this message is going to go in some different directions, and then we're going to tie it all together. We're going to tie it all together because I tell on myself, I'll be honest, you know, I'm always just, I want my ministry to always be transparent. You know, a lot of times, most times, you know, I sit down and I develop an outline for my sermons. You know, I sit down and I'll be honest, the outline just wasn't happening this time. I spent this whole past week down in Tennessee with Reverend Randy Greer and sat in meetings. And I got fed, and I'm ready to go. The Lord's been giving me things as I've prayed for this service, and it just isn't something that will be so teachy. At least I don't think so. All right, there'll be some teaching in there, but there's just going to be some different directions, but we're all going to get what we need here today. And this scripture, and actually this verse, and then we're going to go over to Matthew here in just a few moments, it's just been playing on the inside, you know, all this week. It's something that I was not thinking about. It was not what Reverend Randy Greer preached on, this verse, these verses. He didn't use them or anything. So I'm not just regurgitating someone else's sermon. But as I prayed in Gatlinburg, Tennessee this week, these verses just came into my spirit, you know, and God spoke them to me, and I didn't, you know, connect the dots. You know, and I'll be honest, I still don't have the full picture of why we're going this direction, but I know it's of the Lord. I know it's of the Lord. Do you believe that here today? Yeah, well, the word is good, and it's not because it's me, it's because it's Jesus in his Bible. Amen. Let's go over there. Where did I tell you to go? Luke chapter 17 and verse 20. Again, we're calling this message here, the kingdom of God in you, or you could say it, the kingdom of God in us. All right, now look at this, Luke 17 and verse 20, and this is talking about Jesus and the demand, you know, that the Pharisees were trying to put on him, and they would try to test him and trick him into making mistakes. How many of you know he never did? All right, but here's something interesting, and of course Jesus' response to them teaches us something. He says, "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said..." Now remember, the Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day. They should have known more scripture than anybody else in that society. But of course, they became the biggest hypocrites. We know that. And now, watch what Jesus says to them in verse 20. Jesus says, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." Meaning the kingdom of God doesn't begin with things you see, all right? You know, these Pharisees, they were demanding some kind of outward, you know, outward manifestation, something to happen in politics, you know, something, you know, to be seen by the eyes of man, something to be done in the arm of the flesh. He says the kingdom of God does not come or begin with observation. It's not something you get with your physical eyes. All right, look what Jesus says in verse 21. He says, "Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there." All right, "For behold, the kingdom of God is where? Within you." All right, the kingdom of God begins in this covenant within the heart of man. We know that our bodies are what? The temple of the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is where today? In you. See, what Jesus is telling these Pharisees, he's like, don't invest in what you see. You know, don't think like there's some outward answer to the kingdom of God. This is exactly the issue that is going on in the modern 21st century American church today. We're looking to observe the kingdom of God through the outward methods of man. But Jesus says the kingdom of God in its strength begins by what you put on the inside of you. Glory to God. God's kingdom is within you. So what is in God's kingdom? Salvation. What is in God's kingdom? Healing. What is God's kingdom? Remember, Jesus taught us to pray, God's kingdom come, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so if the kingdom of God is in you, God wants what is in heaven in you. God wants his plan, his purposes, his strength on the inside. But we're trying to get outward answers for an internal issue. There is no exterior answers. Everything begins with the Spirit of God in spirit, the spirit of man. Listen, your answers for your marriage are within you or to be developed in your spirit. Listen, when you're strong in your spirit, your marriage will do a lot better. There is no marriage counseling that will ever be better than the Word of God growing in your spirit. See, there's no, Jesus is saying the answer to God's kingdom is not a carnal outside answer. You know, the answer to your life is not just making more money. The answer to your life or to your problem is not just a new relationship. The answer to where you're at is to develop the kingdom of God that is in you. Oh, glory to God. He said, listen, there's no outside observation. There's nothing out here in this world. Listen, natural blessings are great. They're fine. Hey, go and enjoy this kind of nice day we have out here. You know what I mean? Hey, there was sunshine yesterday. Go and enjoy it. You know, if you have nice things in your life, rejoice and thank the Lord for them. All right? We are in no way. But we're saying answers. We're saying true strength doesn't come from your position at work. True strength doesn't come from the money you make. True strength does not come from an outside relationship. True strength, the kingdom of God, is developed on the inside of you. All right? And so when we're living in a day that focuses on the outside of man, entertain man's flesh, give them something to look at, give them something to, you know, to spark their interest, God says, no, 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 no. The kingdom of God is where? In you. Glory to the Lord. And so what do we need to be? How many of you want to be kingdom-minded? Yes. You know, and that's, how many of you got the text communication yesterday, all right? And I asked this question, whose kingdom are you building? God's kingdom or your own kingdom? Listen, we're going to be honest here. Listen, we have all, myself included, found ourselves at times building our own kingdom. We have found ourselves caught up in the arm of the flesh, caught up, you know, with thinking that our answer is something out here, but it's not. Our answer is developing our spirit, the kingdom of God on the inside. There's nothing on the outside that is going to give us any long-term answers. All right? And so if you're kingdom-minded, all right, then you are internal-minded. On the outside is the kingdom of the enemy. And the outside is darkness. All right? In the kingdom of God, is there sadness? And God, in heaven right now, is there anyone moping around having a bad day today? No. In his presence is the fullness of... Finish the verse for me. Right? In his presence is fullness of joy. All right? So in God's kingdom is joy. So guess what's on the inside of you? Joy. Is anyone in heaven right now sick? All right? Now, when I say this, don't misinterpret me. Don't think that we're saying that if you go through symptoms or a trial in your body, there's something wrong with you. But it just gives us an idea or what to believe for, right? Is there sickness in heaven right now? No, because God's kingdom is a kingdom of health and healing. Amen. All right? Is anyone, no one sad up there? No one sick? If you have loved ones in heaven right now, do not feel bad for them. They're having a way better day. You know, they're not sitting there saying, wow, we got 45 degrees and a little sun out there today. The Bible says that Christ himself, the Lord, is the light of heaven. There's no sunshine there. Oh, Pastor. But there's no sunshine here either. There's no sun there. It doesn't need the sun or the stars. It's got the light of Jesus. The Bible says that light is so good that there's not even a shadow there. Shadow animal. Yeah. We have shadows here. All right. You can be out on the brightest sunny day. There's shadows. But in heaven, there's not even a hint of darkness. How good is that? Say, well, Pastor, I kind of like standing in the shade. Well, that light is going to be so good, it will never make you want to get out of it. All right? There's no darkness there. There's no sadness there. There's no sickness there. They're having a better day. You know, people that might have even been reserved on this earth will be so overfilled with joy in heaven, they'll go for a run just out of joy. What did John and Peter do when they realized that the tomb was empty? John's gospel says they ran for joy. joy, the resurrection of Jesus, they saw it and they said, he's alive. Woo! And they went for a run. There's times in heaven, the Bible, heaven, there's going to be colors there that you've never even seen before. There's streets that are paved with gold. You know, what we call gold, God calls pavement. He can pay your mortgage. You know, praise the Lord. And so in the kingdom of God, there's none of these things, but that kingdom's on the inside of you. And so listen, natural things can be a help, can be a blessing, but our true answer is to be kingdom-minded. To be kingdom-minded is to be sold out on developing your spirit. To develop what's on the inside of you. How do you develop the spirit of man? By, number one, feeding on the Word. Two, by praying. Fellowshipping with God. We need the church in America to get back to a place of being kingdom-minded because we've been building man's kingdom for too long. And if we've all done it, we've all built our own kingdom, we've thought like, if I just had a new job, I'd be happier. If I just had a relationship, if I just had somebody, if I had something else, I'd be happier. Yeah, listen, out here is not your answer. The kingdom of God does not show up first with observation. It's developed in the spirit of man. Go with me to the book of Matthew chapter 13, and then let's start looking at what it means to be kingdom-minded. How do you know when the kingdom of God is your purpose in this life? Boy, we're going to get convicting now. Praise the Lord. Listen, if you want to operate like the kingdom of God, do these things. And the kingdom of God will show up in your life. Yeah. All right. Go over to Matthew. Why don't we start in chapter 13, verse 44. Jesus is speaking. And Jesus is teaching by parable what the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is like. And so this is how heaven operates. All right. And, or you could say it this way, this is how people operate who are focused on God's kingdom. Okay? He says this, Jesus, he says again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. Everyone say treasure.
Treasure.
All right. What is your treasure in this life? Well, let's keep reading. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found, meaning he finds this treasure, he hides it or he buries it again, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. So he's in the field. He all of a sudden discovers this treasure. He says, oh my goodness, this is so good. I'm going to hide it. All right, I'm going to put it there, and then with great joy, I'm going to go and I'm going to sell everything I have to make sure that I have this. That man found that treasure. He says, this is my answer. Nothing else is to be compared to the treasure that I found. Jesus is saying those who are kingdom-minded have this mindset. When you are kingdom-minded, heaven, meaning the plan of God, the purposes of God, become your absolute treasure. And there's no price that is too great to pay to have what's in that field. Oh, come on. Notice the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. Notice if you want God's highest and best, you're going to have to dig for it. How do you dig for the treasure? You dig into the Word. You dig into prayer. You dig into fellowship with God. You dig into obeying the Word. Listen, I'll tell you what. You know, people that are hungry for God are gold diggers. I went down to that church and he told me I was a gold digger. Not the way you're thinking. Stop it. Get your mind out of the gutter. That's not what we mean, all right? But we're talking about people who get on fire for God. They make the things of heaven answers, revelation, time with God, fellowship with God. Everything is worth selling if it means getting that. Oh, I don't know about you. This is what the kingdom of heaven is looking for. This is what the kingdom of God in us looks like on the outside. It looks like we're digging for God. Oh, come on. It's our treasure. It's what we want most of all. Now, if some of you are sitting here, and it's kind of going over your head a little bit. It's kind of, you know, I don't know if it's confusing or whatever, but what we're talking about here is a mentality. And this mentality is being lost in our nation. It's being lost because digging in the field is not convenient. They don't want to dig anymore. They want to go on YouTube church. They want to go on iDevice church. They want the podcast church. My wife was just telling me before service, she said, I saw an advertisement for YouTube church. And the advertisement was some computer or device sitting at a dinner party while they're having drinks. Have church this way. Bring church with you. That is the days and the times we're living in. The devil is trying to dismantle the gathering of God's people together. That's not church at all. Gathering around, you know, a bar table, having drinks and watching the pastor podcast is not church. I'm here to tell you. But if you are going to be kingdom minded, you go and you dig. Come on now. Are we going to be a church that, you know, digs in, you know, looks to go deeper in the things of God, is sold out to this kind of lifestyle? Look at this. It says, this man, when he finds it for joy, he sells all that he has and buys that field. He says, Lord, there's nothing that I have in this life that is worth more than the treasure I found in my local church, the treasure I found in your kingdom, the treasure I found in your word. What is your treasure on this earth? People say, well, my business is my treasure. Then I'll tell you what, hard days are ahead for you because that treasure will come and go. But the treasure of God's kingdom will never go away. People say, well, I don't know, this relationship is my treasure. Well, listen, I'll tell you what, I have a precious wife. Amen. And our marriage is heaven on earth and I'm very grateful for it. But don't you make people your treasure even over God. God is a jealous God. You can't love something else or anybody else more than Him. The reason why our marriage is so wonderful is because she loves Jesus more than me. You know? Yep, that's right. I have to have something to confess. I've caught my wife with another man. I walked in and she was with Jesus. She loves God. I think I'm walking the line here. Woo, someone bail me out now. No, serious. Just like I say, hey, I got something to confess. I'm in love with a man. His name is Jesus Christ. I love him. Anything to wake you up here today? Listen, I tell you what, husbands, if you were more in love with Jesus, your marriage would be more heaven on this earth. Wives, I'm here to tell you, if you were in love with another man, being Jesus, your marriage would be stronger. Amen, because I know my wife loves Jesus more than she loves me. I know it. I know it. She would sell me in a minute for that. Yeah. Amen. But seriously, because she lives her life as a wife to please Christ. And that's why our marriage is heaven on earth. I believe I'm living my life as a husband. You know, the way I treat her and what I do for her and my family is because I want to please Christ. Why? Because He's my treasure. Amen. So you can't put your wife in front of Jesus. You can't even put your kids. Here we go. People say, well, my kids are my treasure, and I worry about them all the time. You have just violated the Bible twice. Because one, you said you worry about your kids, and that's wrong. Worry never blessed your children. Stop worrying about them. The reason why they have some of their problems is because you're worried about them all the time. Jesus said, you can't add anything to your life by worrying about your kids. Don't you dare worry about your kids. Say, but I'm worried about them. That's a problem. See, you're worrying because you haven't meditated in the Word what God says about kids. Go get some children's scriptures here, you know, verses about raising kids, and start meditating on them and casting that care upon the Lord. Listen, the Bible says casting all of your care, even the care that you have for your children. Father, I thank you. I cannot carry the care of my children's life, whether they're little or whether they're full grown. So, Father, I thank you. I put that burden on you. Father, I trust you to carry it. Father, I trust you to speak to their heart. I trust you to move upon them. I trust you to be there for them. That's how you handle that. Don't you carry the care even about your kids. Listen, my treasure in life. Plug your ears, Timothy and Michael. Listen, don't misunderstand me. Those boys are not my treasure. Take a deep breath. Now, they are a tremendous... I mean, come on now. How many times have I sat up here and cried in front of y'all talking about my kids? You love your children with an indescribable godly love. But I love God more. Amen. I love God more. Your treasure in life better not be a relationship, a marriage. It better not even be your kids. And it certainly better not be a business. It certainly better not be your possessions. Your treasure in this life is finding more of God. When the kingdom of God is in somebody, it motivates them to get more of God. Amen. Now watch this. Look at verse 45. Jesus says again, the kingdom of heaven. Remember, where's the kingdom of God? In us. So this is what will operate in the heart of someone who loves God's kingdom. I'll tell you what, I am fired up. Man, say, well, Pastor, we know you put God first. Yeah, but I'm fixing to put him more first. You know what I mean? My goodness, I came back different from these meetings. Amen. Praise the Lord. Again, the kingdom of heaven that's in me, or the kingdom of God is in us, is like a merchant man, or you could say it this way, a businessman, seeking goodly pearls. And so you could say it this way, this is a precious stone trader, or a businessman that deals in, you could say, jewelry, precious materials, and commodities, all right? And notice what he's doing? He's seeking. He's seeking something good. This describes every human being on the face of this earth. One way or another, you're seeking something good. But I'm just telling you, where trials are, not just trials, we can be seeking, you know, God and still go through trials. Don't misunderstand me. But where so much frustration, maybe that's the better word, you know, people being crushed and defeated in this life is because they've put their seeking in something other than God's kingdom. Seeking something else first besides God's kingdom will crush you. It will hurt you. There will be unnecessary despair from someone who pursues something other than God's kingdom. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man. All right, first he said it's like a man who goes out and digs in a field. He's willing to inconvenience himself. He'll put all things. He will pay the price to have what God has for him. This is why so many of God's people, they don't get God's plan for their life. They don't pay the price. They don't pay the price in Bible study. They don't pay the price in prayer. This new Hallmark Christianity, we read a little, you know, 3-second devotional and we think we've hung the moon. We're going to have to dig in. Going to have to turn off that TV. I'm not saying you can't ever have entertainment in your life. I'm just saying there's plenty of time. This is what the Lord dealt with me this week. He says, there's plenty of time for all this that you have going on to your life. He said, you're just, you know, manage your time better. There's time. There's time to enjoy your life. There's time to be a parent. There's time to enjoy your marriage. There's time to enjoy things that you like. All right, but you know what there's time for? More of God. You know, listen, shut off that Facebook for a few minutes. Pray. you know, get out of away from that TV, open your Bible, say, well, I was going to sit down. We think nothing of watching an hour-long program, you know, with all the dirty, rotten commercials. I don't know. I don't have TV in my house. I'm not saying that's what you got to do, but just not our flow, you know. But, I mean, you know, people will think nothing of an hour-long program, but my goodness, reading and praying for an hour. Come on now. The kingdom of God is like someone who's a businessman who knows that if he seeks the right thing, it'll pay. Do you believe that searching for God in His Word and in prayer is going to pay? I don't mean just financially. I'm talking, is it going to pay off in your life? He said, this is a businessman and I know what I'm looking for. Oh, come on. He said, I want a good pearl. Verse 46. Who, this merchantman, businessman looking for pearls, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. He found the most special pearl there is, and he did anything to have it. Is that your mindset? Is that your desire? What is your pearl in life? What is your pearl? Oh, Pastor, my pearl is my marriage. Well, you could be married to a pearl. I sure am, you know. But I'm just saying, listen, that's God. That's great. That's wonderful. But it's not supposed to be the great pearl. This is often called the parable of the pearl of great price. You could say it this way, the pearl of great cost. How many of you know he found the greatest pearl, but to have the best, he had to sacrifice something. He had to sell all that he had to get it. Now, is God saying that you got to sell your house, sell everything that you own? No. He's talking about the mentality of someone who has the kingdom of God on the inside. When they find the pearl, when they make the kingdom of God their greatest value in this life, everything gets put behind it. We're losing, again, we're losing this mentality in America, in the modern church. What is your pearl? We all have one. But is it this one? Is it the pearl of great price? You know, the kingdom of God is like this pearl that when you find it, you do anything to have it. Why? The kingdom of God needs people that will love it. The kingdom of God is built upon those that love God's kingdom, that love God's people, that love their local church. This is my church family, and this is part of the great pearl in my life. Amen. This church needs people who will love it. This church needs people that will serve it. This church needs people that will put God's house first. We're not offering you, you know, some YouTube church here. No. We're not offering you, you know, the podcast church. All right? The pearl is when we come together in the presence of God. Amen. Does that help you? What is your pearl? My pearl is not first my kids. It's not first my marriage. My pearl is not my income. My pearl is not my possessions. All right, my pearl is God, His plan. And I don't know about you, but I am going to step it up even further that there is nothing in this life worth missing that pearl. Notice both the man who found the treasure in the field and the man that found the pearl of great price. Nothing was worth going in front of what they found. See, the problem today is that the church and God's plan is not the pearl in people's lives. Oh, I don't know. My pearl is golfing. Nothing wrong with golfing. Go golf and have fun, you know. I've been golfing before or whatever. You know, there's things in my life I enjoy, but it's not my pearl. Oh, but Pastor, you know, Sunday's my one day off. That's the day I get to sleep in, so I'm just not going to come to church. That's just too much. You know why? Because God's not, that kingdom of God is not your pearl. I will challenge everyone that is within the sound of my voice. Make God's kingdom your absolute pearl. Dig for that. Seek that pearl. When that becomes your heart and your mentality, I'll tell you what, the kingdom of God within you is going to spill into your life. Oh, Pastor, I know I sit around on Wednesday nights and I watch TV when I could be in church. You know why? Because it's not your pearl. Woo! Oh, boy. Oh, Pastor, you understand. You understand. You understand. God doesn't understand. No, I'm not just using that in terms of Wednesday. No, I'm just saying anything that when we could be doing something for God. No, I don't do that. But the man that found treasure out in that field, what do I have to do? I'll just keep going until I get to that treasure. How do I get that pearl? I've been looking for something good. See, when you look for something else other than God's kingdom, I'm telling you, it's going to crush your life. Meaning, if that becomes your priority, the priority is the kingdom of God, the pearl of great price. Amen? Are you getting something out of this? Praise the Lord. And so, yes, I'll tell them. Go to Hebrews. I was honestly just getting ready to close this service right now. And the Spirit of God just, spoke to me. And He quoted this verse. He quoted in my spirit Hebrews 12:14. You know what we mean when we say in our spirit? It's our heart. You understand those terms are synonymous. We're not trying to be ooky, spooky, or weird. Because we understand, the Bible many, many times describes the human spirit. It's where your conscience is. It's where the voice of God communicates with you. This is something I wasn't planning on preaching on. And you're going to wonder how it connects to these other passages that we've looked at. I'll tell you what, I'm refreshed today. I'm refreshed. So if there's going to be one person that walks out of this church today who's going to get something good, it's going to be me. Because I'll tell you what, can I just be honest? Have you ever had mornings where you just wake up and it is like a resurrection service to get out of bed? It's like you think the stone needs to be rolled out away from your door of your bed. Has anyone ever had a morning like that? Okay. All right, I'll be honest with you. That was my morning today. Everything in my mind and my flesh, told me, how am I going to preach today? How am I going to preach today? Lord, what am I going to do? I looked at my wife and said, you might have to take this service. Because I'm just telling on myself. That is how unspiritual I felt. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, remember how I've been using the illustration lately of the 80s and 90s commercial, the Dunkin' Donuts guy? Time to make the donuts. And here I've been preaching against that, and that's exactly how I felt this morning. It felt like, time to make the donuts. When you're standing in front of the sink, and you're washing your face, or you're shaving, men, Your face. And it's like you got to preach yourself a sermon. Your eyes will barely open. And you got to, you're sitting there giving yourself a pep talk. When you're quoting verses and it feels like you're chewing on sawdust. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Lord Jesus, you're the vine, I'm the branch. If I abide in you, you and me, I can do all things, but apart from you, I can do nothing. It sure felt like nothing. You ever wake up and you feel like, where did Jesus go? That was the morning I was having today. She's not here today. It's my niece, Rebecca. Matt and Sarah Wilkins' daughter, she bought me a mug that says the best pastor ever. We know that's not true, all right, but it was a really nice gift. And Timothy got me a cup of coffee. He brought me some coffee in my office this morning. You know when someone, you know, you're a coffee and you're not even looking at them, you're just like, coffee. Now. And I take that mug in my hand. I wasn't even sure what mug it was, and I brought it to my face and I looked at it and it says, the best pastor ever. And I rolled my eyes. I said, yeah, right. I said, yeah, sure. Because I don't think the best pastor, whoever he is or she is, I don't think they feel like this on a Sunday morning. For whatever reason. I don't know. It wasn't sickness, illness, or anything like that. You know, but have you ever had that? All right. Well, good. I'm not the only carnal bucket in the place. Because that's what I felt like, you know. And, you know, you got to ask yourselves, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? See, when the kingdom of God is your pearl, you keep digging. Even against the feelings, even against the thoughts. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So all that to say, if I'm the only one that gets something out of this here today, I'm walking out refreshed. Because I just know I want to impart something into you, a mentality that says, I'll dig no matter what. I'm going to put that treasure first in my life. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to study more. I'm going to get into the Word. I am going further and deeper with God. I am not going to be dragged with the course of this world. Hebrews 12:14, and this was something, the Spirit of God. I've never seen this verse this way before. Hebrews 12:14. It says, follow peace with all men. There, that just fixed your marriage. Have peace. Make peace with each other. Oh, come on now. Praise the Lord. Follow peace with everybody. You know, it doesn't pay to keep that argument and that fight going, because it destroys peace. You know what? There's going to be a lot of people that have done you wrong or say things that are wrong, and you're going to let them think they're right. Okay. I was just telling my boys that about sports, you know, and kids. And I said, boys, you know, when you're at these baseball practices and games and these tryouts and stuff, there's going to be some kid there better than you. You're not the best baseball player in that room. You know how we work around here. We have a saying around family church, you're not special. What we mean by that is we do not esteem ourselves highly like the Bible warns us not to do. And I said, you know, there's going to come up to you and say, I can run faster than you. Maybe they can, maybe they can't. They can throw the ball further than you. They can hit the ball further. You know, they're better. They, you know, whatever. You know, whether it's true or not, but when somebody comes up to you, when they say that to you, you know, what do we say, boys? Good for you. Right? Yep. You probably are. You're right. You probably are faster than me. Yeah, you probably are better than me. Yep, there you go. Why? It's better to keep the peace, even if you are faster. You know? Oh, this would be a good story to talk about my brother-in-law, but I won't. Because he's 7 years younger, my wife's brother. He said he's 7 years younger than me, and he's a good athlete. Said he was faster than me, and I didn't follow my preacher. I said, no, you're not. I said, no, you're not. And on the beach, I proved me right. He's like, oh, I'm in the prime of my life. You're an old man. I said, yeah, well, wait till the old man runs past you. I beat him the first time. He said, no, I slipped. We should record this, send this to him. He said, no, I slipped. I said, let's do it again. So we did it again, and I beat him even worse the second time. Oh, I'm telling on myself. Being a hypocrite today. No, but seriously, follow peace with all men. I use that for humor. But seriously, there's going to be a lot of people that'll tell you one thing. All right, so be it. Oh, okay, you're right. It really pays to follow peace. Anyway, that's not the verse, the part of the verse we're trying to get to. Follow peace with all men and follow holiness. Everyone say holiness. without which no man shall see the Lord. Without holiness, no one shall see the Lord. Okay. Now, the way this verse is typically preached, which is correct, if we live a life outside of holiness, meaning if we constantly participate in unholy things. Okay, a lot of times we think of, you know, drinking alcohol, getting drunk, doing drugs, smoking cigarettes, you know, these things that, you know, are typically the first thing mentioned, you know, a foul mouth, you know, talking wrong, living wrong, obviously adultery, sexual vice, all that stuff. We, you know, we say these things, we say, if you do those things, you won't see the Lord. And that's true. Do you know that's true? You can say you're a believer all day long, but it's what you do is what shows God what you believe. All right? So preaching that verse from that standpoint isn't wrong, because there's plenty of scriptures that say if you practice the way of drunkenness, if you practice the ways of homosexuality, if you practice the ways of unforgiveness, of blasphemy and adultery, I mean, you can read Galatians chapter 5, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You can read these chapters that make it very clear that if you live a life like that, people have this idea, I'm a believer, but I live like the devil. God says, you're not going to see the Lord. Let's just say it. Boy, that is a sobering. Boy, it sure got quiet in here. Maybe I should go back and tell the story of, you know, racing on the beach or something else. Get my wife mad at me again. That made you happy. You love that. She's not. You understand. She's not mad at me. She really isn't. She never gets mad at me. That's the truth. That really is the truth. Praise the Lord. Follow peace with all men and holiness. And of course, we preach holiness in terms of don't do wrong things, which is true. But what does holiness mean? What does holiness mean? Someone just shout it out. It means what? To separate or to set apart. Holiness means to set yourself, your life, apart for the sake and the purpose of God and His plan. And I never saw this verse this way in the other side of it. Holiness is to set yourself apart from God, or for God. Set yourself apart from the world, your stuff, your plans, you know, your time, all that stuff. Set yourself apart for God, for without it, no man shall see the Lord. Now, this is an interesting way to look at it. How many of you know Jesus said over there, where is that verse? Someone could find it for me. Jesus said, if you seek me with all your heart, I will manifest myself to you. Jesus also said in John 16:13, he said, the Spirit of truth will show you things to come. Now, God doesn't show you everything about your future, but does God give you pieces of your future? He can show you things of the Lord. Think about this verse that way. If we don't set ourselves apart, all right, we will not see what God has for us or for our marriage or for our kids. I realize this. The more I set myself apart to pray in the Holy Ghost, the more I set myself apart to be in God's Word, the more I set myself apart for God's purposes, He shows me little bits of the plan of God for my life. This past week, I got some real revelation about the churches, meaning the Jamestown and the Erie Church. Things I've been believing, you know, just I'm just getting the start of it. You know, starting to show things to come. All right? There's things that the Lord has shown me concerning my two sons. All right? Things that God wants to do in their life in the future. I don't tell them that. Actually, I don't even share a lot of that with my wife, not because it's wrong to, but sometimes it's just, you just got to ponder those things in your heart. You know why? Because the Bible says that the Holy Spirit, when He comes, He will lead you into all truth. He will show you things to come. But without holiness, without separating ourselves for the purposes of God, we won't see those things. Holiness isn't just because you stop drinking alcohol, though that's part of it. I was addicted to alcohol at one time in my life. My last drink was January the 18th, 2003. Haven't had a sip since. Why? Because I don't need it. Because that alcohol was just a false glory. God gave me the real glory. He said, how did you stop drinking? It's easy when you love God more than the booze. You can get addicted to substance. You can get addicted to the substance of faith. Faith is the substance of things unseen. So, well, praise the Lord. But without holiness, without separating ourselves, all right? Yes, holiness is staying away from the things that would pollute our life. But holiness, in a deeper definition, is to set ourselves. A person who never sets themselves apart to pray is not holy. A person who never sets aside the tithe, that's holy to God. You're violating holiness. Why? What does the scripture say? The tithe is holy unto the Lord. He says, set the tithe apart first. Without setting what God said to set aside. Set aside your time to feed on the word. You know, Reverend Greer, he said something, and he wasn't preaching on these verses or anything, but he said he's got a new, you know, thing going for himself. He says, the Lord spoke to him and said, you know what, you can read the entire New Testament in 30 days if you read 8 chapters a day. I know, you know, I'm not saying that's a requirement. That's, you know, his leading for him. That doesn't mean that's a burden for everybody else. But what if we went through the New Testament and fed on it and got the whole New Testament into us every couple of months? What would that look like? How long does it really take to read that many chapters or to feed on that many chapters? Well, you know what? I bet no more than a half hour. I mean, of just, you know, reading along and feeding on it. What, 45 minutes? What if you put aside that one-hour TV show? And what if you went through the New Testament every 30 days? Just an idea. You know, no, I'm not making that a requirement or a rule. I'm just saying that's an example. And, you know, of someone that says, I'm going to dig even more. I'm going to dig and I'm going to find the treasure. What is he saying? I'm separating myself even more to see God's plan for my life. Without holiness, without separation, we're not going to see the plan of God for our life. You know, without holiness, you won't see the provision of the Lord. Without holiness, you won't know the plan of the Lord. Without setting yourself aside. See, when I got saved, I set myself aside from the bar. Here we go. Didn't go to bars anymore. You know, I set myself apart from the dance club. You know, I set myself apart. Smoking dope was not an option anymore. You know, you set yourself apart from those things, and then I started realizing I'm going to set myself apart. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to dig, because this is where the pearl is at. My local church with the presence of God in it is my pearl. This church, God's kingdom, needs people that love it with all their heart. See, but unfortunately, many American Christians today are treating the local church like they treat Burger King. They want it their way and no other way. I can take it, I can leave it. Which one, you know, I'll go to McDonald's today, I'll go to Burger King tomorrow. That casual nature about church is destructive. Oh boy, here we go. Did you get some help here today? It'll save your life to understand that apart from holiness, no one will see the Lord. The kingdom of God is where? In you. What does the kingdom of God, how does the kingdom of heaven operate? Like a man who found treasure in a field and paid whatever price to dig it up. It's like a businessman who was looking for something good and realized the best good is in the kingdom of God. And he did anything. He was willing to pay any price. There was no cost too big. Say, well, Pastor, but my job comes first. That's your problem. Oh, can I say something that's going to hit home? We are all going to stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in heaven, he's the only one with scars. And you're going to look at him and you're going to say, I put those scars upon that body. And then I dare you at that moment to say, Lord Jesus, my job required it. I dare you. Lord, I couldn't be there. My job. Lord, I couldn't. He's like, yeah. He'll say, but what was your pearl? Oh, but Lord, I couldn't stop doing that. I couldn't lay down the alcohol. I couldn't, you know, stop doing that. He's going to, you know, how are you going to say that at the judgment seat of Christ? And imagine standing there in front of Jesus and you see the holes in his hands. You will see the scars on his head. You will see the holes in his feet. And you're going to look and you're going to realize, I put them there. And you will be speechless before Christ, who paid it all for you. When will he become your pearl? Because you were his. Think about that. Oh, but Lord, I couldn't serve in the church. I didn't have the time because... Say that in front of him. Lord, I couldn't bring the tithe. You understood? You won't even be able to get the words out of your mouth. I couldn't tithe because. Say that to him. He's going to say, you couldn't? Spear in his side? You couldn't? He's like, it's funny because I could pay the ultimate price for you. Oh, Lord, I couldn't do this. I couldn't lift my hands and worship. That's not my personality. He's going to say, you couldn't? I lifted my hands for you. Oh, but Lord, I couldn't give. I couldn't serve. And I couldn't do that. I couldn't, Lord. You won't even be able to get the words out of your mouth. Because you'll think you'll go there to try to explain yourself. And when you see him, all those explanations will dissolve. Whew. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Wow. Hear the holy hush in here today? The holy hush is the sound of God dealing with men's hearts. I'll tell you what I say. Well, Pastor, this is convicting. This is challenging. But don't look at it that way. Look at it as, hey, we have an opportunity here. What will these next 10 years look like? What will these next 20 years look like with a church that is sold out to the kingdom of God? And guess what? You have the bow of this church's leadership from me as the pastor. We don't go beyond the boundaries of the word, but we don't fall short of them either. The Bible says to rightfully divide the word. And so if it's in here, we're going to do it. We're going to contend for it. And I believe that the days of the book of Acts and the miracles and the signs and the healings and stuff, I don't believe we have a different Holy Ghost today. I don't believe the word of God has changed. I don't think God's desire has changed. I think he still wants to save. He still wants to heal. He still wants to provide. And he still wants to be miraculous in our midst. But we're not waiting on him. He's waiting on us to find the pearl of great price to set ourselves apart for his kingdom. Amen. If you never set yourself apart, then you're only building your kingdom. And I'm just going to warn you, your kingdom will collapse. My kingdom would collapse. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain which build it. Psalm 127, verse 1. Let us pray. Father God, we just love you and praise you. Father, I trust that we have imparted a heart like you described, like the man who found a treasure in the field. He paid whatever cost necessary to have that treasure. Lord Jesus, you are the treasure. Your house is our treasure. Your word is our treasure. Your spirit is our treasure. Lord, you said it's like a businessman seeking good pearls. And he found the greatest one ever known. He did whatever he had to do to have it. Father, we understand we don't see the plan of God for our lives because often we don't pay the price. Lord, thank you for being merciful and patient with us. Father, if one person walks out of here today and they say, I will be closer to God. I will put myself out to do what the Lord says. Then, Father, we know that this service would be a success. But I believe it'll be more than one. Father, I believe there's a room full of people. And Lord, it pleases you. when we set our heart to put you first, to make the big decisions, the tough decisions, to inconvenience our lives if need be. Because, Father, we know that the plan ahead is good. And, Lord, we just give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. Father, we love you. We thank you. Your presence is strong in this place today. And, Father, forgive us if we have a callous, indifferent attitude. Lord Jesus, what will we say when we stand in front of you? When we try to list our excuses? We'll have no excuse. So Lord, we thank you for your goodness. You're not trying to pound us down. You're trying to bring us up. Your plan is good. In this age of the seeker-sensitive entertainment church, Lord, we must be bold about these things. And so, Father, we just love you and praise you. With all eyes closed, every head bowed, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Please ask yourself that question. Right now in your heart, have you turned your life to Him as your Lord and Savior? The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you'll believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Notice what God's looking for. He's just looking for someone to sincerely use their faith to believe what He did at the cross and at the resurrection. Will you accept Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection for yourself? Will you invite Him into your heart to be your Lord and Savior? If you've never done that, today's your opportunity. I am not, please, everybody listen, I'm not going to call you down front today. I'm not going to make you go talk with a group of people and, you know, meet with church leadership and anything like that. I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. When I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to lead this congregation in a prayer, and right there in your seat, you can pray and make Jesus the Lord of your life. God will hear you. But if that's you, I encourage you, take a step towards God and lift your hand. As soon as I see it, I'll have you put it right back down. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Thank you. I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else? I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else that you want to pray and accept Jesus into your heart? God loves you. He's not mad at you. Anybody else before we pray? God loves you. Praise the Lord. The plan for our lives is good. Let's just do it God's way. Amen. Anybody else before we pray? Say, Pastor, that's me. I know I need to pray and accept Jesus into my heart. Well, we did have a couple of hands. And so I'm going to lead us all in a prayer. If you lifted your hand, speak these words out of your mouth. Mean them with all of your heart. Don't just think them in your head. We're all going to be praying with you. Let's all go ahead and pray this prayer together. Everyone pray with me. Everyone say this. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get some help here today? Let's go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Praise the Lord. Well, I tell you, I appreciate you being so hungry. It's your fault that I preach so long. You know, you guys just pull, you're hungry for the Word, and next thing you know, it's 20 after 12, right? Well, it's just so good to see everybody. Hey, just a heads up, if you're here, if you're visiting, if we have not had a chance to meet and greet with you, Pastor Brad Holford, our associate pastor, is going to be up front to greet you, pray with you if you need to. Folks, if you see me leave right after church, it's because I am heading right down to the hospital. One of our precious church members is in the hospital today, and I'm going to go down there and pray with her and be with her. It's Sharon Darling. Many of you know Sharon. Praise God, she's just been so faithful, and she's coming out of this. Amen? And so if you see me out of here, usually I'll stay up front, greet or whatever, but sometimes I take appointments, or today I'm going to the hospital. Just so you know, I'm not trying to get away from you. All right? We love you. So let's just give God the glory. Father, we praise you. We glorify you. Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.